We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What were they, Paul?
What?
The conversation that we're continuing now, we started
Robert
off
Kraft.
The air, were the two things that really surprised you about the Robert Kraft story. There's actually a few more than two. You know, a billionaire going to get a hand job at a crappy little, I guess, massage parlor
You're
in a strip mall in Florida.
It's orchids, orchids of Asia.
Surprising.
Sounds nice. Sounds lovely.
And dude's got a girlfriend. It wasn't like, you know, he couldn't hopefully get a free one.
Look, this is a horrific story in so much as human trafficking involved.
Correct. You know, and that is horrific.
Many of these women underage and, yeah, so
horrific.
Not in any way minimizing the larger context and what's going on here. But New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft facing first-degree misdemeanor solicitation of prostitution charges, according to police in South Florida. Mm-hmm. Again, he made two trips to the Orchids of Asia massage parlor in Jupiter, Florida, about 1 month ago, Jordana.
So he could have gotten up to 1 year in jail.
Right.
A $5,000 fine and 100 hours of community service,
yep,
according to the Palm Beach County State Attorney.
Here's
he could have.
Here's the one thing, the first thing that really surprised me. It isn't just the NFL players, the football players, but it's also the ownership. The owners are subject to the league's personal conduct policy.
Right.
And that's what really surprised me. Here's the deal. The policy covers, quote, conduct by anybody in the league that is illegal, mm-hmm, violent, dangerous, or irresponsible, puts innocent victims at risk, damages the reputation of others in the game, or, and wait for it, undercuts public respect and support for the NFL.
So maybe that one, among a few others.
That surprised me that owners even have a higher threshold of responsibility.
There's a morals clause.
Right.
The players have it. And Dan Cook explained to us that the union adopted it for the owners, too. If they're going to hold their players to a level of behavior standards, the owners have to comply as well. So they have to. The question is, could he have to sell the Patriots or could he get in trouble with the league? Now, there is some precedent for this because a lot of other people, by the way, have gotten in trouble before this. There have been other people that have faced disciplinary action. Let's see here. It was T.J. Quinn. No. That is a reporter. Hold on one second. I have a whole list of, do you have that list, Paul, of all the other owners that got in trouble before him and what happened to them? Hold on one second. I'm on the wrong page. I need to be more organized here.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here.
There was that case. Paul. I definitely don't have it. All right. I'm sorry. But this has happened before. Was it the owner of the Indianapolis Colts who got a slap on the wrist for, what was it? Being a rape? No, he wasn't. He didn't have racial issues.
No, that was a different owner. You're thinking of Jim Irsay from the Colts.
Thank you. That guy.
Who got stopped for drug possession and I believe pled it down to a DUI. But was suspended, I believe, 6 games and fined by the NFL in excess of 6 figures.
Okay.
So that's the one people keep pointing to in terms of if you have this level, what is Kraft going to be subject to?
Right.
So
we don't know what he's going to be subject to. We know he has a very good relationship with the NFL. We know he has a good relationship with Roger Goodell. So does that mean Roger Goodell is going to be lenient on him? Probably not. It might mean that he'll go a little harder on him. We know that he fined Coach Bill Belichick. Let's see. He fined them, Coach Bill Belichick, $500,000 for spying on the opponent's defensive signals in 2017. In 2015, Goodell fined the Patriots $1 million, stripped them of 2 draft choices, and suspended quarterback Tom Brady as part of Deflategate. Kraft threatened legal action, but eventually he backed off on that. So it's not like there haven't been punishments in the past.
In 2010, Jor, it was the Detroit Lions team president, Tom Lewand.
Thank you. That was it. That's what I was looking
for. He was suspended for 30 days, fined $100,000 after a guilty plea to driving while impaired.
There you go.
So both Lewand and Irsay mm-hmm, pleaded
mm-hmm.
guilty.
Mm-hmm.
But Robert Kraft, denies he broke the law.
He's not pleading
and
guilty.
The latest indications are he has no plans to plead guilty.
He said through his lawyer that it's very important to him not to plead guilty. He doesn't want to admit that this is what he did, despite video evidence that is said to exist. It hasn't been revealed yet. We haven't, and I do not want to see this video evidence.
Well, here's the
his lawyers have also have moved to not have that video released publicly. As Freedom of Information, of course, all the newspapers and media are filing Freedom of Information Act.
Oh boy!
But they've also his lawyers are trying to stop that video from coming out. So there's something there.
The state of Florida
may in fact release that video.
But keep in mind, if he agrees to the deal, then they might be able to have the video sealed. So the question is, why wouldn't you just agree to the deal? We know Roger Goodell's probably not going to make you, the NFL's probably not going to make you sell the team. So you get a fine. Yes, it goes on your record. It's a first degree offense. And then the video gets sealed. So why don't you do it? Paul, for me, this is just another case of a rich person who cannot take accountability for his bad deeds. You know, the college cheating scandal, the same thing. They're all pleading not guilty. This guy doesn't want to say, yes, I went, despite the sex trafficking stuff, which is horrific, and hopefully he didn't know that these women were being sex trafficked. But I went to a hooker, and I paid her for sex. And he, for some reason, thinks he's above admitting to that. It's lack of accountability that is astounding to
me. Rich people think they're above the law. This is shocking. Let me write this down. Dear diary.
A lawyer says it's, quote, personally important to Kraft not to admit to a crime, even if he doesn't dispute the basic facts. Okay, the facts are, I went to this place, I paid a lady, she did a sex act on me, so that's a crime. Why are you willing to not admit that? Because you are a pampered, rich, white guy that's full of privilege that doesn't want to say, I did the wrong thing and I'm sorry.
I screwed up.
I don't get it.
Poor choice of words.
By the way,
this is apparently police have extremely graphic footage.
Which
may, in fact, break the internet
Never
if that is released.
See it. Never.
But Florida has a public records law, so they could, in theory, release this video unless Kraft reaches an agreement, some sort of plea agreement. The evidence in that case would be sealed.
So that's what it means. Admit you did it. Say you did it. Okay, first degree offense, pay a fine, whatever. And yet he doesn't want to do that because I'm looking at it from the outside. It's about accountability. You don't want to admit you did the wrong thing. Well, privilege, smeared all over.
And I'm not defending him, but I'm sure this is embarrassing.
Whatever.
Personally embarrassing. Above and beyond money, it goes to his moral turpitude, right? It goes to the kind of man he is, and he's being judged, I think, by the entire nation.
But we all make mistakes. We all do stupid stuff.
So be the bigger man, step up and say, hey,
yeah.
I messed up.
Right.
I'm sorry. Turn the page.
Right. Embarrassing. How much more embarrassing can it be? Tell you what, right now, if that video gets released, that'll be a whole lot more embarrassing. My goodness, who would want that released? Yet your ego is so giant, it's gotten in the way of just letting this die and saving your team and the league. Not that you'd spare the league the embarrassment, but just, dude, get over yourself. No, I won't admit that I did it. Ugh, it's this privilege.
Dan Cook, why do you think he won't just fall on the sword,
well, I think there's
admit this, and move on?
Two things. Number one, if he takes this deal, which isn't the same as, pleading, I mean, they're just dropping the charges. But within the deal, of course, it says that you have to then stipulate that if the thing had gone to trial, the prosecution likely would have won, which is tantamount to saying, yeah, I did this.
Right.
So if he agrees to this, he is essentially publicly saying, yeah, I did this, which beyond the personal embarrassment sets the NFL up to say, okay, now here comes the hammer. Now, does that mean that he would lose the team? Probably not.
No, there'd be a fine,
but
again,
there'd be a significant fine.
He can find that in seat cushions. He's a billionaire, right? A few hundred thousand bucks isn't going to kill him.
And likely he'd be suspended from participation in
the pride. I think his pride.
I think it's a combination of the two. He's not a billionaire because he likes giving away money. You know what I mean? He doesn't want to have to. He doesn't want to pay that.
How long would he be suspended, Dan?
I think Ursay was suspended 6 games. So, it could be somewhere in that range. The other part of this, of course, is like you said, he's a billionaire. He's got great lawyers. If he thinks he can beat this, you know, why wouldn't he go ahead and just beat it? Why wouldn't he have the lawyers?
Why not? I'm rich. I can throw money at the problem, and I don't ever have to say that I did
because
the wrong thing.
Because if he does lose, and there is some statistically significant possibility he may lose in court,
you know that, I know that.
Then the video gets released.
He doesn't believe that, then.
And the embarrassment goes from a 3 to a 763,000.
Goes to an 11.
Yeah.
Aye.
Really? I'm not saying he shouldn't
hubris.
Take it.
It's hubris, right?
I mean, that certainly you would suspect plays a large role in it, yeah.
What would you do? Not that you'd ever get yourself into this. I would say, thank you, dear. May I have another plea? You got it. Here's some money. Yeah. I'll do my community service. I will do whatever I can to help these women, give them some money, and then make this go away. Admit you did the wrong thing.
I would say, Jor, I'm a victim of the system.
No, you wouldn't,
the system
Paul.
Made me go.
You would never do
to
that.
To the orchids. What is it? Something orchids?
Asia, orchids of Asia, something
orchids
like that.
Orchids of Asia.
You would not. You would say, you know what? I screwed up.
I hope. And most Americans, the vast majority of Americans, are fine. If you ask for forgiveness, if you are
That's
remorseful
right.
and you say, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up, and I'm sorry.
Instead and of, I'm a billionaire and I can pay the best lawyers in the world to make
want.
This go away.
Yeah.
Now I hope he loses. I hope he gets a bigger fine, and I hope that video comes out.
I still don't want to see that video.
Oh, I'm not watching it.
Oof, God. No.
Oh boy, I don't want to see
All right.
That.
And what I really don't want to see is video of flooding and evacuations in a few weeks here in Minnesota. An update on our unfolding flood situation. That's coming up next. All right. Jordana, we have a super worm moon tonight.
What is that?
Which sounds kind of creepy, doesn't it?
Super worm moon?
Super worm. And yeah. By the way, spring arrives officially at 4:58. The sun's rays pass directly over the equator, heading north. Spring
4:58
arrives. 4:58
tomorrow,
4:58.
Right?
Today.
Oh, today?
4:58. Yep.
Oh.
Some years it's on the 20th.
You know, it's the puppy's birthday tomorrow. I thought she was born on the first day of spring, March 21st.
Well, some years it is the 21st. Other years it's the 20th. Mm.
She's going to be one tomorrow.
That's cool. Nala's
so
one
cute.
Already?
She's going to be one. Can you even believe
wow.
that? I know we're supposed to be talking about weather, but she's going to be one.
I'd rather talk about Nala.
And she's less than 7 pounds, and my husband is really mad about that.
Oh, she's not gaining weight fast enough?
Well, he was hoping for at least a 15-pound dog.
To become a guard dog?
And I strategically told him she might be almost 15 pounds. So, yes, I lied.
Soaking wet.
She's so cute.
Not a chance.
Yeah, sorry, honey.
All right. The superworm moon is the third and last full supermoon of 2019. This month's superworm moon is super because the date lines up with the closest the moon will get to us during the month of March. Again, the moon's orbit around the Earth is not perfectly circular. It's elliptical. There are times where it's a little bit closer, 20, 30,000 miles closer to the Earth. The worm moon is one name of many given to the first or only full moon in March. The idea is that it marks the end of winter. In this case, it falls on the 2019 spring equinox, which means squirmy things will resume squirming out of the ground and getting eaten by birds. That's why it's called the super worm moon.
Makes sense.
Maybe visible out there later on this evening.
That's kind of dumb, but it makes sense. I mean, there's so many more positive things about spring than squirmy things coming out of the ground, but okay.
That's kind of dumb, but it makes
a little bit dumb.
I feel like I'm home.
Okay.
Thanks, honey.
It was not a reflection on you.
Every time you open your mouth, my IQ drops 10 points.
It's not true.
Nebraska, 74 counties, 83 cities under an emergency declaration. The flooding, again, the worst that they've ever seen in Nebraska in recorded history. We have a few hundred years of records in Nebraska. And again, they're saying 76% of Nebraska has been affected. Between the bomb cyclone, the wind damage, the flood damage, the storm damage. So a fair amount of paranoia about what is heading our way. I think the greatest concern is Red River, Fargo up to Crookston and Grand Forks. Fargo, we'll see. I pray it's not as bad as 2009 when it hit the all-time high of 40 feet. They're already sandbagging. They're taking precautions.
Is that when the zoo got flooded?
Yeah.
And, oh, my goodness.
Yeah, 2009
horrible.
Was really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And they've just increased it from 50 to 90% odds of major flooding. in Fargo. So we'll see. They spent, I think, a few hundred million dollars trying to make the city more resilient, levees. But, you know, at the end of the day, there's only so much you can do. You can make a town flood resistant. You can never make a town on the river, beside a river, flood proof. No such thing.
How about a bubble? Giant condom that you wrap the whole town in. Floats.
You know, maybe 3M should get cracking on that. A giant flood bubble. Inflate the bubble. Okay, so here are the warnings. Minnesota River at Montevideo under a flood warning. Again, the big concern, ice jams. And when the ice jams, you get this temporary damming. There's no way to really predict where the ice will jam. And you can get instant flooding. And so the rivers are all rising, but they're not rising at a uniform rate. The level of rise, the rate of rise, depends on where the ice is jamming up, and that creates a dam, mm-hmm. which then, you know, to rise even more behind that jam. So Minnesota River at Montevideo, Chippewa River at Durand, and here in St. Paul, the Mississippi River now under a flood warning starting late Saturday night. Right now, the river is at 7.1 feet in St. Paul, expected to rise to 17 feet by next Wednesday. Flood stage is 14, and it's expected to go up to 17.2 mm-hmm. by Wednesday morning, according to the Weather Service. And at 17 and a half feet, Harriet Island begins to become submerged. The Minnesota River at Mankato under a flood warning. Minnesota River at Morton. Minnesota River at New Ulm. Henderson, Jordan, and Savage, all those towns on the Minnesota under a flood warning. The Cottonwood River at New Ulm and the Cottonwood River above Springfield, also under flood warnings. The South Fork of the Crow River below Mare in Carver County under a warning. The Crow River at Rockford under a flood warning. Mississippi at Hastings, lock and dam number 2. Redwood River near Redwood Falls and the Cannon River at Northfield. All of these under flood warnings. Again, the big unknown, the big question mark, and no model will ever predict this, is the ice jams. Where will the ice jams form? How quickly will that water rise? So people that have been impacted in the past need to just pay attention and mm-hmm. be vigilant. Mm-hmm. Certainly, a lot of farmland and some roads are going to become submerged. Whether it's just a major flood or an historic flood, it's mm-hmm. still too early to say. I think it's going to depend on how much rain we get the end of next week into the first week of April. Some of the models indicate that it could get much wetter as we sail into April. Maybe an inch, inch and a half of rain. Is that enough to push it up to historic flooding? I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. We're going to have Mark Seely on at 5:10. He has a lot of perspective, a lot of experience.
Is he going to have the answer?
I hope he has the answer.
All right.
But again,
I mean, eventually you will have the answer, right?
It's much easier to tell people what already happened.
Well,
much easier. I used to tell this to Shelby all the time.
Not your job.
I said, Don, you could dress a monkey in a sport coat to tell people what happened yesterday. I said, predict what the headlines are going to be tomorrow, Don, and why. And then we'll be on a level playing field. He did not like that.
You are insane.
That's why I love Don, though.
I will tell you this. Somebody used a 36-year-old coupon at a store, and they took it.
Wow.
More fun stories and beyond the headlines after the news.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Oh, I want to tell you the story. Do you use coupons?
My wife uses coupons.
I use coupons. Yeah. I absolutely use coupons. I love them. And if our technology was working a little bit better, I'd be able to tell you the story that someone used a coupon from 1983 at a grocery store to save 20 cents on Crisco oil. Anatoly Shashkin is a manager. He's been in the supermarket business for 13 years. He recently took a picture of a coupon that somebody brought into his supermarket in Mineola, New York, saved 20 cents on Crisco oil. He looked at it. Yes, the coupon was expired. It was from 1983, 36 years old. But you know what? He accepted it. It's actually like a vintage coupon. Like, honestly, that should be a business or something. Someone should look like vintage coupons because they're really kind of cool looking. He says, by the way, for inflation, she would have gotten a lot more bang for the buck had she used it 36 years ago. But Crisco oil, she did save 20 cents. Crisco oil is still around, a testament to the brand. And I guess if you have a Crisco coupon hanging around, they will still take it at your local supermarket.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Reminds me a little of the stories about Nordstrom, you know, people returning tires to Nordstrom.
To Nordstrom to sell tires?
And but Nordstrom gave them a refund. I don't
Come
know if that's
on.
An old wives' tale, but.
That has to be. They don't even sell tires. That's crazy.
But taking service to the next level. Mm-hmm. That's pretty cool. All right. Hey, Jor, go into space, get herpes. Spaceflight is apparently activating herpes in astronauts.
So it's not giving them herpes. It's just...
It's activating
the
herpes that was always there. The longer astronauts spend in space, this is not a good way to get people to go to Mars.
It's not maybe from oversexed aliens?
Go to Mars, get herpes. The longer astronauts spend in space, the more likely they are to have viruses like herpes, chickenpox, and shingles reactivate, according to new NASA research. Yeah, that sounds like a party. Mm-hmm. The reason may be the same for viral reactivation on Earth. Stress. Samples of blood, urine, and saliva were collected from astronauts before, during, and after short space shuttle flights and long-term International Space Station missions. Herpes viruses reactivated in more than half the astronauts.
Good times.
The study published last week in the journal Frontiers in Microbiology. I know you read that cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's going to be hard recruiting more astronauts knowing that.
Or they have to send them with, what is the advertisement for that? There's that Abreva.
Abreva? Right,
the Abreva commercials. Yeah, they got to send them with some extra Abreva up there to Mars so they look good under in their spacesuits.
All right, whatever it takes.
Karen Kaskula Ulbeck, a mathematician and professor at the University of Texas, has become the first woman in history to receive the Abel Prize. Now you're scratching your head going, Jor, what's the Abel Prize? Well, it is the most prestigious prize for mathematicians around the world. The Norwegian Academy of Science and Letters announced that she will be getting it yesterday. They said it's because of her pioneering achievements in geometric partial differential equations.
Oh, yeah.
I could barely say that, much less know what
good
it
memories.
Was. They gauge theory and integrable systems for the fundamental – I seriously can't even say it – for the fundamental impact of her work on analysis, geometry, and mathematical physics. So I don't know what any of that means, but this is fantastic because she is the first woman ever to receive this prize.
Wow.
The prize is about 6 million Norwegian kroner or about $704,000. You go, girlfriend. You go.
Awesome. Awesome.
Keep doing that math.
Okay. At least we don't have rattlesnakes. We have polar vortexes and occasional floods and a few tornadoes, but we don't have rattlesnakes.
We do not.
To my knowledge. Mm-hmm. I'm sure one of our listeners will correct me. Homeowners in Texas called in a snake removal company after spotting a few rattlers near their house. The company found 45 rattlesnakes slithering under their house.
Come on. 45?
45 rattlers.
Ugh,
a video shot near Abilene shows Nathan Hawkins, owner of Big Country Snake Removal.
Yep.
Removing the angry snakes one by one.
You got to really love that job.
Boy,
you're the owner of Big Country Snake Removal.
They earn every dollar,
right.
too.
Amen.
I don't think that job would ever get old. A Facebook post says the homeowner discovered a few of the snakes while attempting to fix a cable issue under his home. The video then shows Hawkins using a long tool to pick up the snakes as they use their rattles, try to escape, and bare their fangs. The largest snake removed was 5.5 feet long.
Jeez.
This is nothing, the owner of this company
That's
said.
That's bigger than me.
We do this all the time. Can you imagine?
Yet another reason to cut the cord.
Oh, yes.
Oh,
well done.
Santa Rosa, do you have some annoying neighbors?
Oh, boy. Yeah.
We might go down a rabbit hole here.
Yeah.
Do they have naked people on their lawn?
I've not seen that yet.
Santa Rosa, California. Don't mess with Jason Windus. A neighbor complained about his high fence. He had a really high fence around his house. And it blocked their visibility to, I guess, his yard for them. So they wrote a letter to the city saying that it violates the ordinance because the maximum height of a fence is supposed to be 36 inches. All right, 3 feet high, okay. I guess, in this city and in Santa Rosa. All right, he claims he was just trying to keep his dogs in the yard. And if they're angry dogs, I would agree with that. But he said his neighbor had at it. He had to cut down his fence. All right, so he cuts down the fence. And then just to piss off his neighbors, he puts naked mannequins in his front yard. Naked mannequins in the front yard. He says they're set up like a garden party.
So it's tasteful. It's like Greek gods.
It's like art. You know, he tried to cover the parts of himself, of the mannequins that may be distasteful or illegal to show in public, but they're having a garden party in his front yard of naked mannequins.
And doesn't he have the freedom?
He says it makes the place a little more interesting. Hasn't heard from the neighbors yet, but maybe they like the view better this way.
Wow.
There you go. Naked,
I like this
naked
guy.
Mannequins.
All right. Have you ever written a blog?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I wrote a blog for Midwest Home Magazine when we were redoing our house. I wrote a parenting blog for Midwest Home. I'm not parenting, but it was, you know, life blog for years. Absolutely.
So I don't. Have you heard of a company called Glossier? G-L-O-S-S-I-E-R, Glossier. The founder, Emily Weiss, started a popular blog back in 2010 called Into the Gloss.
Okay.
Beauty tips, trends, tutorials.
Sounds like it. Mm-hmm.
Now, Glossier, which started as a blog, is worth $1.2 billion.
Should have kept up my blog.
After its latest funding round.
Wow. And she's writing about makeup?
Makeup trends, tutorials, beauty tips. She used it to launch beauty and skincare brand Glossier 4 years later in 2014. She launched this company, which offers simple and affordable products. Glossier has attracted a cult-like following, nearly 2 million followers on Instagram. Weiss has been credited with being especially effective at using social media to reach customers. Women are in the driver's seat, she said. They are in charge of their routines, and they can find all the information they need from their friends or from other women in the world and online.
You go, girlfriend.
People
you make
bring
it happen.
People bring up Kylie Jenner, you know, and she's done very well, right?
Mm-hmm.
But and people say, oh, look, she hit a home run. She's a billionaire, youngest billionaire.
She had a ramp up.
She started
had famous parents.
She started her life on third base.
Right. Kim Kardashian with the sex tape, building all this social media presence. I mean, come on.
But to start with zero, to start with a blog.
With a blog, good
and,
for her.
And lever that into a $1.2 billion company. That is impressive.
Keep it going, girl. I'm gonna follow it now. Good for her. You have any bad habits? You don't smoke?
We don't have enough time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, $1,000 a day heroin habit might have put you in the grave. That's what we're learning about Motley Crue's new Netflix biopic. So there's a new basically documentary.
$1,000 a day?
Documentary about Motley Crue. Now, I remember these stories from the Motley Crue Behind
like
the
Music.
They
seem like such nice guys.
Yeah, uh-huh. Did you ever watch Behind the Musics on MTV?
Mm-hmm.
Loved Behind the Music. It was like 80s or 90s.
Yep.
So you watch these Behind the Music, and I tell you, Nikki Sixx tells a story. Nikki Sixx is the lead singer of Motley Crue. Thank you very much. Tells a story that he was dead for 2 minutes after a heroin overdose. And he tells a story in the Behind the Music where he remembers waking up with the needle still in his arm. And it was an unbelievable story when he told it, by the way, still alive today. So you can hear and see all of these things in this biopic on Netflix. But he tells the story about how he was doing a little over $1,000 a day in heroin, probably the same in cocaine and alcohol. He was in a downward spiral.
Of course, he's clean now.
Alive. Yeah, they all went to rehab. But these are unbelievable stories of what it was like to be a rock star in the 80s.
So if he was dead for 2 minutes, I bet she had a near-death experience.
Mm-hmm. Let's get him on the show.
Yeah, work on that. All right, sure. It's 5:47 Wicks and Jewelers time. This is Minnesota's only full-service jewelry store. Wicks and Jewelers offers a variety of watch repair and jewelry services, all completed in-house.
The Gophers are in Des Moines, and so is our Mike Max. Hey, Mikey.
Hey, how are you?
Super exciting.
8 teams practiced today, so we're still practicing. We're at the right now at the Hilton Hotel, which is the headquarters for Michigan State of all teams. Tom Izzo just came strolling through here. One of the great coaches, of course, in this country, got a national championship ring to his name, and We've got some Minnesota fans here, and that's why we're here, kind of hanging out with them. And, it's fun. When you get eight teams in the first round, it's a lot of fun. I was over watching Nevada, and Eric Musselman is the head coach there. That name, of course, resonates with Minnesota fans. His father, Bill, the head coach of both the Gophers and the Timberwolves at different times. So there's always kind of this. It's going to be interesting tomorrow because Des Moines is a pretty sleepy town by nature, and that's not enough, just what it is. And you've got University of Michigan here. You've got Nevada. You've got Michigan State. You've got Minnesota with just a short drive. So I'm expecting it to be pretty raucous in that arena tomorrow.
What are their chances against Louisville?
Good. I'd call it a coin toss game. Louisville's vulnerable, Jordana, because as you and I talked about during the season as we watched these games unfold, and you said it in January and it's still true today, they're not quite sure what their identity is, you said to me. And I said, you know what? You're right. And that really hasn't changed much since then. They've got a new coach. They know what they want to be, shoot the three and all those things. But you were dead on that one. You're not sure what Louisville team's going to show up, are you?
I'm glad you remembered my commentary about Louisville during the season because,
yes.
You know, nobody listens to me. They don't take me seriously
yes.
as an NCAA
you're kind
basketball
of a
analyst.
Sports guru.
It's like parents. They think that you're not listening, but I listen to every word you say, George.
And I'm grateful because I hear you using it in your stories. So, you know, you're a good
yep.
man, Mike.
Yep.
Mikey, the Wolves lost yesterday to Golden State.
We got 30 seconds.
They're not out of it. 30 seconds. What do you think?
They're not out of it, but they're out of it. Golden State was so much fun to watch. If you're a youth coach, go look at the tape of Golden State. They make the extra pass all the time. They are the definition of what it is to be a team, and that's why they're a champion.
Oof.
But
they are
also the definition of what basketball should be. Talk to you guys tomorrow.
Have fun
down there, Mikey.
When we get back, Mark Seely.
Yes, talking historical perspective, how bad could this flood be? That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.